Talk about tonight of how to respond appropriately to each circumstance. And I'll be honest with you, yesterday I had to do responding appropriately. I was at the gym working out, and I was waiting on, and it was packed. I got there about 10:15, 10:30. And it was packed. And so I'm standing there waiting on a machine. And I'm standing there, and there's two older people using them. And they're taking their time, and I'm just kind of standing there. So finally, you know, the guy finishes, and he gets up, and he shuffles over to the little towel thing that you pull up to go wipe down the machine, and I'm standing there waiting, and he finally finishes. And so I start to get on the machine, and here comes this dude running across the gym. And I stop, and he runs in between me and the machine and hops on the machine. Oh, no, I know. And I look at him. And I said, sir, I said, I was standing here waiting. He goes, so? One, two. You know, Thomas Jefferson said, when angry, count to 10. When very angry, count to 100. I had to get to like 1,000. I couldn't believe it. I mean, I was like, dude, you know. So finally, I got on the machine next to him, and I finished up before he did. And I went to walk by him, and I said, hey, you have a good day, sir. And he said, Jesus loves you, and I do too. Where'd that come from? You know, so I just kept on walking. But, you know, there's times that your patience is very much tested, is it not? And so we're going to look tonight at, let me see, where's my clicker? So we're going to look tonight about what does James say underneath the power of the Holy Spirit about how to respond appropriately to each circumstance. So let's review for a moment. And last week we talked about how we need to be patient and stay focused in our patience. We must live a life of patience because the Lord is returning. And then secondly, we must be patient just as the farmer awaits the coming rain. We have to be patient just as the prophets did in suffering affliction. And then be patient just like Job endured through suffering. So living a life of patience. The Lord is returning. You learn from the farmer and the prophets and Job. In the midst of his suffering, his wife said to curse God and die. And he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. So let's get right into, I threw Mark a monkey wrench today with my slides. I sent him my slides, and I have him proofread my slides. And he shot me an email back. He said, there's no introduction. Said, yep, no introduction this week. So anyway, we're going to get right into our points. And I'm going to try to finish a little earlier tonight so y'all can fellowship. And I know Marcia probably needs to leave here pretty soon, too, to go pick up her sister from the airport. So let's get right into it. Let's look at verse number 12 of James 5. Okay, let's look at verse number 12. But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea and your nay, nay, lest you fall into condemnation. So, number one is, when heavily tempted or tried or tempted, we should never respond by cursing or swearing. He says, above all things, my brethren, swear not. So we should never respond to a circumstance by neither cursing nor swearing. So here is a question. Why is cursing such a big thing to the Lord? Why is cursing such a big thing to the Lord? Okay. Anything else? Well, you answered number one. Results in two things. It results in using God's name in vain. And secondly, it reveals one's true character. Because what comes out here is what is here. If I hear... It bothers me to be standing in the hallway of a Christian school and to hear students and teachers alike, and I have addressed this with staff. I've told them, I say, you know what? You really need to talk to your teachers about the way they use God's name in vain. And hearing kids, teachers, parents alike, walking down the hallway. Oh my! Well, I asked a student one time, is he? The student looked at me like, what? Is he? What do you mean, is he? Is he your God? Because you just said, oh my God! But is he? Or here's the replacement. Oh my gosh, it's just as bad. It's just as bad. You know, and I asked them, I say, look, would you use your mother's name in a vain way? Would you use your daddy's name? Would you use your wife's name? Would you use your child's name in a vain way? So why do you use God's name in a vain way? You know, that's like one of the major commandments of thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God's name in vain. So it usually results in two things: using God's name in vain, and then secondly, revealing your true character. The key point here being that the language one uses when he is being tested reveals what is in his heart. The language that one uses. I asked a military guy one time. We were standing there talking, and he knows I'm a pastor. Every other word was the bad word. Okay. I mean, every other word. I said, "You talk like that at home?" "Oh no." "Well, why do you talk like that way around me?" "Well, you know, you're a guy." "Well, should that matter? Just because I'm a guy, should that matter?" You know, I said, what you are showing is your intellect. You know? Yeah. I said, by you using that kind of language, every other word, what you are saying to me is that your lack of vocabulary shows just how stupid you really are. Now, that did not go over well. Okay? It did not go over well. But I'll be honest with you. I really did not care how well it went. Because sooner or later, folks, sooner or later, a person with that kind of language just has to be dealt with. Especially if they're using God's name in vain. Especially. So here are some things that I want us to look at. There are at least six different kinds of swearing. Six different kinds. The first one is swearing by an oath. Now, do not mistake here what I'm saying. There are times of where we must swear by an oath. If you are testifying in court, you will be asked to swear that you will tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God. You need to do that. And if you are convicted by using the word I swear, then you are allowed to use the word I affirm. Okay? You are given a buy on that. I affirm that I will tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God. Okay? There are times that you need to do that. But what is being said here? Don't flippantly say, I promise. Because then what's going to happen if you don't fulfill your end of the bargain? Yeah. It turns into a lie. Okay, secondly, habitual swearing. Habitual swearing. That is that you get angry or just in your everyday language, just in talking. It's just every other word is a foul word. You know, been around military guys. You know, I worked in the EMS world, and I know how the language is. I used to participate in that language until I got born again, and then after getting saved, and then I was at work, and some of them words came out. It's like, oh my goodness, I can't believe I just said that. What was that? It's called conviction. It's called the Holy Spirit wearing me out that I'm not supposed to talk like that anymore. You know, one must be careful about how we talk. Thirdly, there is hypocritical swearing. What is meant by that? You say you talk one way at church, but then you go somewhere else and you talk totally different. Okay? Hypocritical swearing. There's silent swearing. That is, it's under your breath. Now, let me ask you a question. Maybe under your breath, and you say, well, the only one that knows about that is me. No, there's somebody else that knows about it too. It's called the Lord, the Holy Spirit. The Lord knows about your swearing. Number five, there is evasive swearing. What is evasive swearing? What do I mean by that? Evasive swearing. Yeah, that's exactly right. Like, oh my gosh. No, everybody knows what you meant. Everybody knows what you meant, you know? There's other words that we come up with that say, well, I'm not swearing. No, but you're using a replacement. And when we hear you use the replacement, the actual word comes into our mind. Okay, and then lastly, there's ego swearing. Ego swear. I wouldn't do that. I swear I wouldn't do that. Be careful. Be careful. So we must be careful. Be very, very careful about what we say and how we say it. Letter B is a person is not to swear by an oath. Now, what is meant by this? I kind of explained it just a little bit, but let's go into a little bit more detail. We do not swear by heaven, or we do not use the phrase, I swear to God. Because what's going to happen when you break that promise of, hey, I swear to God that I would not do that. Or I swear to God I will never do that. Okay? What's going to happen when you do that? Whose name are you bringing down in the gutter? Well, not only your name, but you're also bringing God's name down with it. Secondly, there is do not swear by earth, because the earth belongs to God. What do I mean by that? That is being, I swear on the Bible, or I swear on my mother's name, or I swear on this, I swear on that. Then thirdly, do not swear by any other oath, because all power belongs to the Lord. And that is like I said earlier, that when we do have to testify in a court of law, that you are telling the truth. That you're not elaborating. That you're not stretching the truth. And then let us see, a person's word should be his bond. A person's word should be his bond. You know, last week when Sean and I bought the car, I bet we signed 50 pieces of paper. I mean, there were stacks of them. Sign this. But I said, hey, you going to take $1,000 off of every signature? You know? I know, I would. Yeah. Why is that? Because a person's word is not their bond any longer. Christ said to say, he said, but yet let your communication be yea, yea, and nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. What was Christ saying there? He was saying that your word should be your bond. And then Titus said, in all things show in thyself a pattern of good works. In doctrine show an uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned. That he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. So let's be careful with what we say, folks. Secondly, there is when feeling afflicted or full of cheer, we must pray and praise. Let's look at verse 13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Let me paraphrase that for you. When full of trouble, pray. When free of trouble, praise. When full of trouble, pray. And when free of trouble, praise. Praise whom? Praise the Lord. Why? That he has been so good to you that you don't have a whole lot of drama. That you don't have a lot of trouble. That things are going really well for you right now. Because sooner or later, folks, mark it down, trouble will come. Our life will always be full of trials and temptations. So here is a question. What is your response when trials and temptations occur? What is your response? Well, once again, let's kind of go back to that, what I said of when full of trouble you pray. And so Paul told the Ephesian church in Ephesians 6, verse 18, where he says, pray in all ways with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So what is he saying there in those first two words there of that verse? Praying always. Praying always. What does he mean by praying always? Praying always. You know, when we live and walk in the attitude of prayer, we would sin less. Because we're in communication with God. And when you're in communication with God, you're not going to want to do anything that's going to disappoint Him. Because you're going to listen more to the Lord than you're going to listen to Satan and the forces of evil, and also to yourself. But however, there will be times when our hearts are free of trouble. When free of trouble, we must be cheerful in the Lord. Now, do not misunderstand me here. We need to always be praying. We should always be cheerful. But when free of trouble, praise the Lord even more. Because it is the goodness of the Lord that is giving you goodness and graciousness and mercy. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And then there's the last thing that I want to give you tonight, and that is when sick, you call for the church leaders. You call for the church leaders. Let's look at verses 14 and 15. I want to discuss this a little bit more in depth tonight. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. So I want to give you five facts in regard to this passage. Five facts. Number one, there are those in the church that are sick. Now let's kind of look at them. There are those in the church that are sick. It could be shut-ins, terminal cancer, terminal diseases, chronic illnesses, cancer, and many, many others. So there are those in the church that are sick because our bodies are frail. Our bodies will break down. Our bodies will get sick. So there are those in the church that are sick. But then, fact number two, the sick are to call for the leaders of the church. Now, this is totally against the faith healers out there. Totally against them. It's also totally against any pastor that would stand in his church and say, if you would like for us to lay hands on you so you can get healed, why don't you come up front and we'll do it? That's against Scripture. Because Scripture clearly states that the sick is to call the elders, the leaders in the church, not vice versa. Because then what does it turn into when the pastors, preachers begin to call for people to come up? What does it turn into? It turns into a Benny Hinn crusade. That's what it turns into. And it is not to be a show. It is to be done reverently. It is to be done in the name of the Lord in a way that is pleasing to the Lord. There have only been, in my ministry, there have only been two times of where I have done this. Okay? Of where the person came to me, had cancer, and it was terminal or could have been terminal, and they came to me and said, I would like for you and the deacons to lay hands upon me and to anoint me with oil. I know they recently, it's the Sunday you got baptized on a Sunday morning, right? Or Sunday night. Who was it Sunday morning? Oh, it was Jeff and Audrey. After church on a Sunday morning. We went down here to Stony Point. And they had asked Mrs. Gaffigan to go into a side room and went into that side room, and the men of the church laid hands upon her and anointed her with oil. They did it privately, not in the front of the church, although I'm not against that, but they wanted it to be privately so it wasn't turned into a show. So the lead, and then fact number three, the leaders are to lay hands upon the sick and anoint them with oil. Okay, once again, it is to be done reverently. It is to be done in a way that is pleasing to the Lord. It is not a show. It doesn't bring attention to either the sick. It doesn't bring attention to the one doing the praying over. It brings attention to the Lord. Because look here. Let's go to fact number four, and that is that they are to pray and anoint in the name of the Lord. Not in the name of Benny Hinn. Not in the name of TBN. But in the name of the Lord. And I think this is where it all goes back there to what James is saying. Do not do anything that you're going to bring God's name down in a way that's irreverent. Do it in a way that is honoring to the Lord. Because it is the prayer of faith that will heal and raise up the sick. It's done in the name of the Lord. It is the Lord, the faith in the Lord that does the healing and raises up the sick. Note the scene in this passage. That this is a scene of a dear brother or sister in Christ that needs healing. They need healing. It could be a illness. Let's say a person is going in for some serious heart surgery. They come to me privately and say, Pastor, I would like for you and Pastor Ken to lay hands upon me. The doctors are not giving me a whole lot of good news about this, that it could easily go the other way. I'm going to ask that you and Pastor Ken and the deacons lay their hands upon me and anoint me with oil. Praise the Lord. Let's do it. But let's do it in a way that is honoring to the Lord. Now, what does the oil signify? What is the importance of the oil? Oil signifies the presence of the Holy Spirit. And then oil is a symbol of God's comfort and care to us. Because what is one of the names of the Holy Spirit? It's the Paraclete, which means comforter. It means comforter. So by the anointed of oil, by the laying on of hands, the anointed of oil, what we are saying is, by your faith of what you're doing here, the Lord can and will heal you. Now, sometimes that healing is not by our will. Okay, terminal cancer. Person comes. I'd like for you to lay hands upon me and anoint me with oil. Okay, let's do it. So we do it. 6 months later, person goes to be with the Lord. Are they healed? Yeah, they're healed. They're healed better than we could heal them. Why? God healed them. Because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That's the best kind of healing that anybody could get. Okay? Joy in the eyes of the Lord is the homecoming of His saints. So sometimes that healing is not by our will. But what we need to pray for, though, when we do lay hands upon them and anoint them in oil, that you will heal according to your will. Not according to our will, but that your will be done. And we will praise you whichever way you decide to go with this. Whatever your will is. Next week, we're going to talk about Elijah. Elijah and how he was a man of prayer. And we're going to learn from the life of Elijah of how we can be people of prayer, just like Elijah. So let's pray. Father God, thank you for this great passage of Scripture tonight. Help us to respond appropriately in circumstances. Help us to be people of faith. Help us, Lord, to walk with Thee. I thank you, Father, of how you have taught me with this tonight. And Father, I pray that all of us have been taught some very, very valuable lessons. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.